Wait for the Dawn by Jess Foley. Read by Nicolette McKenzie. Side 1. Part 1. Lydia did not need a second guess to tell that her mother wouldn't be going to church. A single glance at Mrs. Halley's bruised cheek, and one could be sure she wouldn't be setting foot outside the house that day. Putting down plates on the breakfast table in the kitchen, Lydia looked at her mother, willing her to lift her gaze. But although Mrs. Halley must have felt Lydia's burning glance, she kept her eyes averted. "I've finished getting breakfast, Mother," Lydia said. "Why don't you sit down?"
"Sit down?" Mrs. Halley said. "Why should I sit down?"
"You look a little tired."
"I'm not tired. I can't afford to be tired. There's too much to do."
Mrs. Halley took up the bread knife and cut 2 slices off the loaf on the board. That done, she turned back to the range and moved the frying pan onto the heat, then moved back to the table and took up a dish of fresh eggs. Lydia wanted to say, "I know what happened. I heard you cry out," but she kept silent. It would not do to acknowledge for one moment the abuse that had been suffered. As Mrs. Halley kept busy with the preparations for breakfast, Lydia turned away, facing the speckled looking-glass above the old settle. Her reflection showed a young woman of 21, above average height, with dark grey eyes and arching brows, and a fine, rather narrow face. Touching at her fair hair, she looked past her own image to take in that of her mother. Mrs. Halley was a small woman, shorter than Lydia by 3 or 4 inches, and slight and wiry of build. She had been pretty once, it was plain to see, but the passing years had taken their toll, and nowadays she appeared a little careworn, sounded a little hollow in her infrequent laughter, and looked a little threadbare in her smiles. Suddenly, a sob burst from the older woman's throat, and she set down the eggs. Quickly, Lydia was moving to her side, arms reaching out. "Oh, Mother, don't. Oh, please don't cry." "I'm sorry, dear. Take no notice of me. I'm just being foolish." Avoiding Lydia's arms, she lifted her apron to cover her face. "Take no notice," she said, her words muffled by the fabric. As she finished speaking, there came the sound of footfalls in the hall, and moments later Mr. Halley entered the room. He carried his jacket in his hand. Mrs. Halley spoke without looking at him. "I'm just putting the eggs on," she said. He laid his jacket down on the settle and took his watch from his waistcoat pocket.
"We're in plenty of time," he said. "There is no rush."
Without looking at his wife, he pulled out his chair at the head of the table and sat down. He was a tall man of 49, with thick, springy hair that had been grey since he was in his 30s. Clean-shaven, he was handsome, with strong, regular features and an upright carriage. His voice, rather deep and strong, was touched with a note of kindness and solicitousness as he spoke to his wife. The tone did not fool Lydia for one moment, however. It was what she would have expected after such an incident.
"Good morning, Lydia."
He flicked the merest glance at his daughter, as if afraid of catching her eye. There was no fear of this, for Lydia could not face him, could not bear the thought of meeting his gaze, of seeing any hint of an awkward smile of greeting.
"Good morning, Father," she said. "I'll pour your tea for you. It's just this minute made."
"Oh, by the way, Lydia," Mrs. Halley murmured now, as she shuffled the frying pan on the hob, "I shan't be coming to church this morning." Her voice was only just there. "I've got several things I want to get done, so I thought I'd stay at home." She was trying to sound casual, doing her best to put an offhand note into her words, but they hung in the air, coldly exposed.
"Well," Lydia said, as she poured tea into her father's cup, "you won't be missing anything in the sermon that you haven't heard before, and if the Reverend Hepthor should happen to say something new, we'll be sure to tell you about it."
She set the cup and saucer at her father's right elbow, and then poured for herself.
"We certainly will,"
her father said.
"But he hasn't done so..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?